punk and the schooner, no one is punk.
Show number 50 of Noise Punk and Das Crooner. I am Das Crooner. Gene, who are you?
I am Noise Punk 50. Very old. We are very old.
Yeah.
We're almost as old as Charles's underwear.
Oh boy.
Have been doing this for a long time, and Charles has pointed out we have gained nothing.
At least monetarily.
We have gained nothing.
That's life sometimes.
Anyway. Welcome to show number 50. We have a very special guest today on show number 50.
We always say that, nothing personal.
But today he's really special because he happened to come on show number 50. That's pretty special.
That works.
And he is a composer. We're not sure what he plays, so I can't say composer slash anything yet. I will later.
We will find out.
Composer slash everything.
I just slash everything, that's all.
Yes, composer, killer, murderer, Lawrence
Dillon.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome.
I'm a special guest. Here I was hoping I'd be your least special guest.
No. Well, Lauren said that he has heard our show before, which surprises us.
Which surprises us immensely.
Because we have gained nothing.
Except access to all of you out there.
Mom. Okay, let's get serious. Charles, ask Lawrence a question.
You know this. Obvious question. What got you started in this crazy world of artistic music?
You read my mind. I was going to ask you the same thing.
All right, then.
What got me started in this crazy business?
Well, let me answer you for you. What got you started?
All right. I got into it probably for the same reason you guys did. I saw it as an easy way for a lazy guy to make $1 million and just rest comfortably. And...
Yeah. Officer, it's legal. What we do is legal. Anyway.
I should give you an answer. An answer. I started piano lessons when I was 7, and I immediately fell in love with my teacher. She was an older woman. I think she was 23.
And the lawsuit is still pending. Go ahead.
And, you know, the first lesson, I'll never forget. She put my hands on the keyboard, showed me where the notes were and what all the notes were called, and I was just, I mean, my heart was just gone. I went home and wrote her a little love song. Brought it in the next week, and she said, oh, that's cute, and let's start learning some more stuff. She touched my hands again and put them on the keyboard and went home and wrote another love song. This went on for a year. I never opened my mouth to her because I had this little pipsqueaky voice, and I was afraid, you know, that wouldn't do the trick. So I'd bring her this love song every week, and what can I say? It didn't work. She went off with another guy after a year, and that was the end of that, but I had the habit. And so I just kept composing since then.
That's one of the best stories in terms of what got started.
That's an actual story. Sometimes people make snide remarks around here.
Yeah.
Never.
No,
you told a nice story. Some people say, oh, whatever, like a tree fell on me or something.
Yeah.
What was that? That was something.
That happened too, but I didn't want to go into that part.
Well, I mean, we're not going to ask you to play the love songs, though we're very curious. But please play us some music that you have written since.
Let's start off with, I brought floppy disks. Is that okay?
Floppy disks?
Kidding.
I'm thinking I have like 15 computers in this room. Which one might possibly take a floppy disk?
All right.
Okay, we're going to, yes.
Wait, give me that back.
Okay. And that piece was by Lawrence. A beautiful
variation
piece.
On John Cage's 4.33.
Here's what you're going to hear. This is going to be actually just a portion from the last section from a piece called Amadeus Ex Machina, which is from 2002. And this is an orchestra piece. I was, had a commission from the Carolina Chamber Symphony, Robert Franz, music director. And they asked me to write a piece for, I think it was their 10th anniversary concert. And I said, okay, what else is on the program? And they said, well, we're not sure, but Mozart 40. I said, okay, that's a good place for me to start. So this is Amadeus Ex Machina, my little takeoff on Mozart 40.
Mozart 40, by the way, is my favorite. That's a G minor. Yeah. As a kid, I even did a metal version of it once.
Yes, I
think. I did a measure of the 25th and the 40th. Yeah,
right,
yeah,
right.
Both the G minor.
We're on the same track here, then. Yeah. This is the last section. I think it's just under 4 minutes.
All right.
Cool. Well, we're going to listen to this. So,
Amadeus Ex Machina by our guest Lawrence Dillon here on Noise Punk and
Das Gruner.
Subtle indeed. Amadeus Ex Machina by our guest Lawrence Dillon here on Noise Punk and Das Kuhner.
Yeah,
who are the performers in that?
That's the Carolina Chamber Symphony with Robert Franz, music director.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was high.
And then out of nowhere comes bitty bam, bitty bam, bitty bam, beep. In case you're wondering, that is the number 40. What are you doing, man?
I'm trying to play.
Yeah.
G minor.
I don't know how
a variation.
Sorry.
That's better.
Where's my effects? There. And now back to our show.
Back to our show.
I liked it. Let's hear more. Do you want to? What do you want to play?
More. How about more?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
I'm spaced out.
That's cool.
Charles brought over some serious marijuana.
Hey, you wish.
No, this is where to get. I'm going to come to get fine water. I know that.
New York tap water, best in the world.
I scoped you out here. let's do a little bit of that Furies and Muses.
What is that?
Did I give that to you?
No, you didn't.
I did not. I will give it to you.
Tell me about it.
This would be it. And this is a piece from 1997.
Damn, you're old.
Hey, you know what? This is you have me on for your 50th show because I'm 50.
You're really?
50? Yeah, this
you look
is
good.
I try.
My God,
Charles is 63.
You wish.
He looks really good.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah. Yeah. Whatever.
Metaphorically, but go ahead.
97. So this is a four movement quintet for bassoon and strings.
Cool.
And the recording is the Cassatt string quartet. That's right. And Jeff Kiesecker is the bassoonist.
You could read all this.
I could.
Well, he can't, but he'll could try. So tell us about this piece a little bit, just in general, if you have anything to say. Yeah, program notes, like.
Oh, sure.
You don't have to, but.
No, you know, listen, what I've been doing is something that a lot of people find tedious, so I'll try to make it really long and slow.
Great.
What I say about it. I'm really fascinated by the way classical forms deal with conflict and resolution. Mm-hmm. And whatever sounds you put into those forms, you know, you can always. Do you need that?
No, I'm just.
You're pushing me. Pushing. Okay. All right. I'm right here.
Yeah, there you go. That's much better. Okay.
The idea of facing up to conflict and trying to resolve it, which is, I find, very difficult. From one moment to the next, just sitting here, I'm faced with thousands of little conflicts that I'm trying to resolve as
nice
as a
child, like millions.
Hell yeah! Ow! Go ahead.
And the way that we address conflict is very different from the way people did 200, 250 years ago. But if we take those same forms and those same ideas, I should say the forms really, because I'm not interested so much in the sound of the music. From the classical period, but those classical forms and use our own kinds of sound world in them, I think it teaches us a lot about how we handle, how we resolve things, and the things that we can't resolve, because there are a lot of things we can't, and there are things that we just have to push over and move on through.
See, I like this explanation because, and I'll tell you, I am a stickler for people calling their pieces sonata, aria, scherzo,
or
symphony, or whatever, but if they are doing it with a philosophical, like you just described, background, you know, and in fact you are, you know, commenting on this, that's when it's great.
Yes.
You know, like Berio's Sinfonia is my kind of example of that. I mean, he took, you know, that's like the most famous, you know, Sinfonia, why would you call it a piece of, because, you know, and he really, you know, he took it and did this big thing on the symphony, you know, and like what the, so I think you're doing the same, and actually from that Mozart piece, I kind of had also a feeling that, I mean, it wasn't called symphony, but you're also playing with that idea.
You got it.
I don't know. I mean.
You got it.
So I like your explanation.
I guess is what we're saying. The issue of form, you take that into account no matter what you do as far as, it's about the form equally as much, if not more so, than the material itself. When you were talking about how you're more interested in the music of today versus more or less the music of past centuries or stuff. That's roughly what you're saying, correct?
Well, it's more or less the sound, more sounds of today rather than, but you know, I don't know what sounds of today are, but the sounds in my head, how's that?
That's perfect.
Here today, I can't get rid of them, and that's
I mean, but the conflicts in the sonata, of course, if you study, you know, is that 5-1 thing, and all, you know, it's all those harmonic conflicts, which actually we don't really think about.
We don't experience that way.
We don't experience,
we don't experience the same way. We have to find, we're actually very good at finding other conflicts.
Oh, exactly.
But it's not that difficult to find
conflicts. But a 5-1 chord for us is nothing. It doesn't, it doesn't even raise the same that it must have been like 16, whatever, you know.
No, it's good for a chuckle.
It's good for a chuckle. Like a big ending of, you know, whatever. It's great. Of a
like
piece
the end of Amadeus
like
Ex Machina. It's there as a chuckle.
Exactly. Right? Yes. And Charles has done that in his Mother Goose song.
That's right.
For instance.
I have a dissonant movement that all of a sudden I put in a 5-1 in C
five
major.
One. And that's
it seemed
it's
to
conscious.
Fit. And it always gets a reaction.
All
right. So this is the sonata from the.
No. I don't want to do that.
The full thing.
No. I don't want to do the whole thing. Come on. It's a big piece. It's 30 minutes. You don't
want Okay, I put the whole thing in. Okay, but you tell me.
Thank you, but...
you tell
me what... Let's start with... oh, gosh. You know, let's do the aria.
Okay.
Let's try the aria. This is... and this is what I'm talking about, dealing with a classical idea. This is an aria about the desire rather than the ability to sing.
Well put, sir. This is the aria from...
This affects Charles especially.
Oh, shut up. The aria from the piece entitled Furies and Muses by our guest, Lawrence Dillon, featuring the, series of players, including...
I'll tell you.
Yeah, please.
It's featuring the Cassatt String Quartet and Jeff Kiesecker, bassoonist.
Now, is that so hard, Charles?
One other thing. Well, you know, he's looking at the whole list of everyone who's on the CD. And
right,
I
you dumb idiot.
Him to run down the whole list there.
Right.
I should also say one other thing. One of the things I was interested in with this piece was the way live musicians can pull and push a tempo in ways that MIDI, boy, it's really hard to make it do that and have it sound natural.
No,
but you'll hear in this piece, the tempo never stays solid for an entire measure. It's always pushing and pulling, and it's gradually getting faster and faster over the course of the movement.
Did you try with a metronome?
No.
Sorry.
That gets a 5-1. I think that's a chuckle. But you'll hear in this the violinists, Cassatt Quartet, Muneeko Ohtani and Jennifer Leschnauer, they have to stay exactly together, well, even though the tempo is constantly pushing forward and backward. And I just love that feeling. The music breathes.
Okay.
Natural work here. Aria from Furies and Muses by our guest Lawrence Dillon here on Noise Punk and Das Crooner. Thank you. Haunting Indeed. That was the Aria movement from Furies and Muses, composed by our guest Lawrence Dillon here on Noise Punk and Das Kruner. We heard Jeff Kiesecker and the Cassati String Quartet in that performance.
Cassat, I think, right?
Cassat. Cassat?
I don't know. There's no T, I think.
Cassat.
Yes. Do you see an I in there?
As in Mary Cassat?
All right.
Do you see an I in there?
Huh?
Is there an I in there?
What did I say earlier?
Cassati.
Oh, whoops. Dope! Don't! Gene! Don't torture me! No! 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 Ow! Ow!
Get him! Watch, my dog's gonna bark.
Okay. Attack!
That was a really beautiful piece.
Very beautiful.
I really dug it. And we were commenting on how the bassoon and the strings combined in a certain way where it was almost sounding like a French horn.
It wasn't too loud and overpouring for the rest of the strings.
What?
A French horn's a lot louder, therefore it doesn't overpower the strings that are playing on top of that.
If you have any comments to the show, please just write straight to Das Kruner.
Yeah, fine.
Any complaints about...
You know who you are, you French hornists, you!
First of all, you know who's going to be mad at you?
Who?
The French Horn Society has officially dropped the French from its name. They don't like to be called French.
Oh, it's just horn. It's That's horn. Right. We talked about this with our previous guest, John Clark.
Yes, John Clark put the record straight. So
habits die hard. You, whatever you are. I can't say any bad words on.
So,
all right.
Lawrence, thank you.
It's been a pleasure, Lawrence. Thanks for
coming. Wait, anyway. The show's still going.
Yeah, I know.
Crazy?
I know.
Let's hear some more music. I want to hear more music. He gave us a little taste. Now give us some more.
Another taste. Let's do the next movement from the same piece.
Oh, yeah. That'd be nice.
That's good. Yes.
Is the presto. And I think it should be.
This is an actual presto?
Is it an actual presto?
This is a good question. Let's see. This is the scherzo movement. So scherzo is a fast piece that's in ABA form. Big mystery.
But is it a presto or not? Because
No.
It's the tempo is presto energico.
Let's see. I have my little presto starts at 190.
Well, as far as metronomes are concerned, you know,
prestissimo
means even faster.
210. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, man. So this is 190. That's really.
We're going to now dice. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3.
Much faster than that.
Ooh. So maybe it's a prestissimo, which is 210.
Much faster than that.
There's no such metronome marking.
There is no such.
Right. We know.
All right, we're going to hear this piece.
Well, let's listen to it, then we'll find out why it's faster. It's look, the tempo is 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
Or it could be
1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3. Oh, no, you're 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2. So that, I mean, it depends. It's in 6, 8 or something.
Doesn't it depend? Doesn't it?
Doesn't depend. All right, this better be fast or else I'm going to rape Charles again.
Hey,
here we go. What? Charles.
The scherzo from, once again, from the piece Furies and Muses by our guest Lawrence Dillon. Ow! Here on Noise... Are you done? Here on Noise Punk and Dust. Crooner.
We'll be right back.
That's a scherzo, like I would ever hear. That was the scherzo from, once again, the piece Furies and Muses, written in 1997 by our guest, Lawrence Dillon. Once again, we heard Jeff Kiesecker and the Cassatt String Quartet. Yeah, why are you shaking your head, Gene?
Can't believe this guy.
Yeah, whatever. You've been dealing with that
for years. That was
a
hot piece. Yeah, that was good, man. That was fast. Scherzo. I was scared so much.
Which I believe the little literal translation of the word scherzo means a joke, correct?
This is true.
Yeah, I think it's a literal translation.
This is true, says Lawrence.
Yes, there you go.
We cannot argue with truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless you're a Republican.
All right.
Bada bing.
Bada bing.
Yes. There's one now. Kill him. Okay. Get him.
All letters could be sent to Charles Coleman.
Fine, do it. I dare you all. I dare you.
They're going to send you letters, Charles.
Yeah, please.
Love letters.
Bring it on. I need the publicity. Anyway.
Well, that was a hot piece.
That was
all,
very hot.
All you bassoonists and string quartetists.
Yeah. What?
I don't know. If you'd like to play the piece, contact Lawrence on his website. He has a website.
Let's talk about that. How can people get to you?
I think LawrenceDillon.com.
No, wait, that didn't sound right, did it?
You've done a great job already, Chuck.
Right, talking about all the talking about Republicans and killing them all.
LawrenceDillon.com.
LawrenceDillon.com, I assume, is up there.
That is up there, yes.
You could go there, you could buy the piece, you could play the piece, you could send Lawrence a copy of your recording of the piece, and he could sue you. Why'd you play my piece? I didn't say you could play. Can we hear another piece?
We should hear another piece.
Yay!
Okay, let's hear another piece. Let's hear some of another piece. I don't want to play the whole thing again. It's okay. A piece that's over 30 minutes. So let's hear some of a piece called Appendage, which Ooh. Has just come out on Albany last month.
God, it's practically a new recording. Well, unofficially. Well, officially.
You can smell the mint.
You can smell the mint.
You can smell the plastic. But which movement would you like from Appendage? There's many a movement that Appendages have.
Appendages. They're all ataka. So let's start from the beginning. And
a very good place to play.
Yes.
A very good place to start.
And it starts with doe, I think.
Does it? A deer, a female deer.
Yeah.
And so on.
All right.
Stop, Charles.
All right. Let's just keep going with this.
Stop, Charles.
Yeah. We could.
But we won't.
But we won't. All right. Let's start with track one, and I think we'll run, about track one through four. How's that?
Okay. Wait, is the first track called Entrance?
It's a big chunk.
Is the first track, it's called Entrance?
No, it's called Appendage.
Oh, okay. So there's other pieces on it. So
there are other pieces on this CD. It's
appendage.
True.
Appendage. Tess Ukes.
You? Can you explain what appendage are you referring to in this word?
Stupid.
You're the one that thought. You're the one who's laughing.
You're the one.
All of the above.
Okay, whatever you're thinking, whatever's in your imagination, you're absolutely correct.
Okay, go ahead.
This is a recording with Lauren Flanagan, soprano.
Ah, wonderful. Legendary soprano.
Marvelous ensemble conducted by Ransom Wilson.
Sure.
Which is Steve Williamson on clarinet. Tamor Sullivan on saxophone. Violin is Arno Sussman.
Violin.
Viola is Richard O'Neill. Mm-hmm. Cello is Clancy Newman. And piano is Melvin Chen.
Ding, ding, you got it right. He wins
Bob,
some kind of
what
prize.
Does he win?
I need a dinging sound, quick.
Yeah, right. Close enough.
That wasn't fair. You were holding the answers.
I was testing you. So he got it all right. And there's four movements we're going to play. Appendage. How do you pronounce this? Tess, E-Y-E-U-S.
Tess you?
You don't pronounce the X?
I don't. You could.
I love the X. Tex Ukes. All right. Warm Eyes and another appendage.
You can't have just one.
You beat me to it.
You can't have just one. And on that note,
portions of the piece Appendage by our guest Lawrence Dillon here on Noise Punk and Das Crooner.
Thank you.
twisted? More like unfinished. It needs a sculptor, a composer, to make it lovely. I think it could be lovely. Sleep, sleep, my precious one. But now it's ugly. Is that allowed? Ugly. It looks ugly. And it hurts. It hurts. Like an open sore. It hurts. With a steady throb. It hurts. Like remembered shame. It hurts. Deep inside me, the pain I cannot bear. Like a wicked gash to the ribs. Can you see right here?
Thank you.
I'm reminded.
Oh,
she's gone.
Yes, indeed. The first two-thirds of the work, Appendage, by our guest Lawrence Dillon here on Noise Punk and Das Crooner. That was an association. Let's say that again. That is a well-played group of players, including the soprano Lauren Flanagan. Yes, I didn't say that right. All under the baton of Ransom Wilson here on Noise Punk and Das Crooner.
Very nice, Charles.
The beer helps, by the way.
Dang!
Yeah.
I have an idea.
I have an idea. Wonderful.
Do you have a piece called Exit?
I have a piece called Exit. How appropriate.
Yeah.
That would be a good piece to end. We really enjoyed your music, and that was very hip. That last piece.
Thank you. The subtitle is it's a psychosexual song cycle in 6 consecutive sections.
Well, that's a lot of S's.
Ooh.
That's a lot of S's
there.
That's a lot of ass.
We should mention that you also wrote the text, correct?
Yes, this is true.
Wow, you're like a Renaissance man. You can do just about anything. At least that's how we feel. Did I mention the beer helps, by the way?
Jeez, anyway. Charles had like a sip of beer, and he's like a raving drunk.
No, yeah, something like that. Anyway.
So, yeah, that was cool. The text was very hip. I mean, it was scary.
What?
Like a scherzo.
Like a scherzo. Oh, like a scherzo. Everything is scary to me today. Yeah. It's one of those days. I've had a long day.
Yeah, we both did. Well, you did. More so than me. Shut up, Gene!
Better. Let's go to... let's hear one more piece by our guest tonight, Lawrence Dillon.
A piece called Exit. Tell us about this.
From the same CD.
From the same CD.
Before you go on, we should mention you just heard 2/3 of that piece on the it's on the Albany Records label. But if you want the whole thing, you can either contact Albany Records or LawrenceDillon.com. You know what to do, folks.
I'm sure it's on iTunes. And
we're giving you a nibble when you can enjoy the feast. Just keep that in mind, folks, and hope you appreciate.
What are you talking about?
Nothing. Anyway,
this is not a Food Network.
Talk about Exit, which is also on the same recording.
Yes. Well, this is. I wrote a companion. All right, let me start over. I wrote 2 pieces that go together that frame a chamber concert. The first is called Entrance. The last is called Exit. The second is called Exit. So I figured that would be a good way to stop this show.
Right.
Stop the show. Please.
Stop the show. Right. Somebody play Exit. Quick.
This is from 2007, and it's for actor and chamber ensemble. The actor in this case is dear friend Robert Beseda. And the ensemble is Tamar Sullivan on saxophone and Judith Saxton on trumpet, Adele Dwyer on cello, Paul Sharp on piano, and Paul Sharp is on bass and Robert Rocco on piano.
All right.
He almost got it right. Bob, what does he win? What's his consolation prize?
I get the almost prize.
Now you get the almost prize. So.
Your sandwich is done.
Sandwich is done.
Sorry.
Whole wheat on white bread!
You know, I did put on my reading glasses to do that from memory.
Yeah, good job, man.
I said that. I guess the glasses help you memorize things.
Yes.
That's a good trick.
Okay. Exit by our guest, Lawrence Dillon, here on Noise Punk and Das Crooner.
Over. We're going to get up and head for the exit signs. We're going to get up, maybe clap our hands together a few times, then we'll head for the exit signs. When we get outside the doors, we're going to look around. I mean, really look around. Like we're not sure what we're going to find. Like, for all we know, there might be nothing there. There might be nothing outside the exit signs. Just an infinite void. Just a few blinking lights. Just God with a broom and a dustpan. You never know. Maybe we are the last things. Maybe what's inside this room is all there is. Okay, it's not likely, but you never know until you look for yourselves. So I want you to go out there, take a good look around, make sure the universe is still right where you left it, make sure it hasn't closed for renovations. That's very important, don't you think? What would you do if the universe got moved to another location? Or exchanged for a universe you've never seen before? So let's make sure it's the right one. The same universe you've been drifting through these past billion years. Drift, drift, drift. That's all you do. But it's not what you're going to do now. We're going to go outside. I want you to cut through the parking lot. On your way through the parking lot, I want you to slap the hood of every single car. See how many alarms you can set off. See if you can get 15 different cars of 15 different colors all screaming at each other. Then you're ready to head for the street. Not the middle of the street, you might get run over. Let's try to walk right on the curb. The gutter. 1 foot in the gutter, 1 foot on the curb. Clip, clop, clip, clop. I want you to take a closer look at the gutter. Who knows what you might find? You might see things there you've never seen before. Like maybe a candy wrapper. A Baby Ruth candy wrapper. You pick it up and suddenly remember when you came home from school and your Aunt Charlotte had died. And everyone's face was gray as they lined up to get in the car. And you know what? It's okay. You know how beautifully you've been designed, but you weren't built to last. It's okay. Pick up the candy wrapper. Look at it closely. Study it. Oh, you can dispose of it later on. Of course, we want to save the Earth and all that. But right now, look at it. But you've seen thousands of candy wrappers before, right? Wrong. Those others were others. I don't believe they ever really existed. And I promise you, you've never seen one exactly like this one before, with a little bitty corner torn off over here and a little bitty leaf smudge over on this side. Look at it. Read the cute little words. Read them. Baby Ruth. Just think. A moment later, a little breeze might have blown up and taken the wrapper and plastered it into a bird's nest, and 15 little peeping chicks would be born, and it would never in a million years occur to them to read the words Baby Ruth in the wallpaper of their own living room. Just as you've been missing the writing on the universe these past billion years, read the words Glendale, California, vitamin C content. Zero. That wasn't so hard, was it? Turn it over. On the other side, it says, you may already be a prize winner. And you look up, and there's someone standing there you've never seen before, or maybe seen once or twice, and you fall madly in love with this person. You know it's love because your knees are spinning out of orbit, and the base of your spine is chocolate pudding, and your heart is fluttering like a spastic trampoline. You know you felt this before, and you know how to hide it, but don't hide it this time. This time, tell this person how you really feel. Say you can't go on any longer. Get down on your knees and ask this person to marry you right then and there, to have kids with you. Or adopt kids. Adopt 15 kids of 15 different colors. Oh, sure, it's gonna be tough, but you're up to it. You can take a challenge. And just imagine the beautiful music of 15 languages around the dinner table. 15 kids screaming and hollering in different languages. And you turn to the person who is the love of your life. And you turn to them again, and you turn to them again, and you turn to them again. And maybe you're not quite so delirious about one another as when you first met, but that's okay. Love develops, love grows, love evolves. That's okay. It doesn't stay the same. If it did, it wouldn't be nearly so precious. And you climb the stairs to your room. You climb the stairs every night for years and years, miles and miles of climbing. And one night, you open your dresser drawer and you find a candy wrapper crumpled behind your socks with a little corner torn off just so, like an old poem that lets your memory brim with the love you no longer feel. Isn't it wonderful? and you can do a little dance around your bedroom. Why not? You don't need to take a pill in order to act like an idiot. This kind of thing isn't your nature. It's your birthright. It's your destiny. Do a little dance around your bedroom. Here, lift up your left foot and touch it with your right hand. Lift up your right foot and touch it with your left hand. And then your weary old heart collapses, and you find yourself studying the carpet really, really closely. And an ambulance comes, and the neighbors stand in their windows and murmur to one another, shaking their heads. And in the next few days, 15 men and women come to clean up your room. They study your bank accounts. They split up your socks amongst them. They ship off your furniture. They pick up a candy wrapper without thinking, the secret of your life in a little crumpled ball. They toss it into a hefty trash bag. And later they'll sit around trying to describe your silly little smile, your love of live music, the couple on the beach, the woman in the studio, the kiss on the shoulder, lip to stripe, in 15 different languages. And maybe, just maybe, in a quiet moment, they'll feel the floor quivering with your final dancing steps. And what more could you possibly want? You are already a prize winner. But we're running out of time now. So remember, when the music's over, head for the exit signs. Step out into the street. See everything closely, intimately, like it's the first thing you've ever seen, like it's the last thing you'll ever see. Because you never know. You never know. You never know what lies outside the exit signs.
Yes, indeed. The piece entitled Exit by our guest Lawrence Dillon, with a great ensemble including the actor Robert Becerra here on Noise Punk and Das Kummer.
Did you get it right? Did you get it right?
Close.
Oh, what is it?
Becerra.
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 That's it.
Besare mucho.
But well, you crooned it so beautifully.
Yeah, well, thank you. We appreciate that. Thank you.
And again, that was the story written by Lawrence, which
once
is
again, again, as we said, Renaissance man, writer, composer, extraordinaire. Any comment?
Thank you. But, you know, one of the fun things about writing that was the idea of writing a text which the main character, that's all told in the second person. So the main character is you, and then... which is complicated. It's hard to do. But then to have you die two-thirds of the way through is even harder and keep the story going. But,
right.
Yeah, that was great. That was really beautiful.
Thanks for coming on. What do you have coming up next for you as far as future compositional endeavors?
And concerts.
Okay, I have a disc coming out on Bridge Records. Hopefully later this year. We have to jump through about a gazillion more hoops. But it's of my second, third, and fourth string quartet and a piano quartet, and it's being recorded by the Daedalus String Quartet, and Benjamin Hockman is the pianist. That should be out by the end of 2010, I should hope. Also coming up, this weekend, if you happen to be in Durham, North Carolina, and you have $100 to spend, you can go to the gala concert of the Mahler May Chamber Players. They're playing a piece of mine. If you don't have $100, go to LA on Sunday, and Danielle Balin is playing a faculty recital at the Colburn School of Music, and she's playing a piece of mine Sunday afternoon, and that one is free. So all it costs is the plane ticket if you don't happen to be in LA. I've got in a few weeks the Emerson String Quartet will do the US premiere of my fifth quartet.
Oh,
they
great.
Just premiered it, the world premiere in Cologne, about 10 days ago.
Cool. I'm going to Cologne in May.
Well, you know, I went and I was worried that I was going to have a colonoscopy, but
that's a colonoscopy.
Is that a 5-7 one?
That's sure what that is anymore.
But they're doing the U.S. premiere April 10th in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and then they'll be following that with other performances in April in Seattle and Washington, D.C.
Keep in mind, this is 2010, so if you're listening to this show 10, 15 years from now, which you can on the internet, odds are you'll miss it. But this is 2010, in case you're wondering.
In the year 2000!
Sorry.
Good point.
Needless to say, Lawrence Stone, thanks for coming to our show. It was a pleasure hearing your stuff.
Thank you so much for having me. You humbled me.
All right. We feel good. Is that what I think it is?
I think it is.
It's the theme music.
The theme music is here.
Thanks for coming on, Lawrence. And until next time, noise to you.
Noise punk and the schooner. Noise punk. And the schooner. Noise punk and the schooner. No more.